Well, I think the world knows that democracy in the United States is in a more fragile state than it has been in any of our lifetimes, so that Donald Trump and the people around Donald Trump represent that threat, and they could return to power. Having said that, they also know who Joe Biden is. Joe Biden ran about defending democracy. When he speaks in private to Democratic donors, he speaks of defending democracy. When he gets on the world stage, he talks about defending democracy. He takes steps to defend democracy against Trump's friends like Vladimir Putin in Ukraine. He has done everything that you can imagine from an American president who understands the job and understands the stakes in order to protect democracy. And I think the reason he's running again is because he realizes that he and Kamala Harris represent the last best hope of the United States to defeat the Trump forces, to defeat the authoritarian forces in the United States, and to preserve our democracy. And I don't think that's an overstatement.
You know, Tara, you know, Tom Nichols was, you know, pretty critical of the media for a lot of reasons, which I think has not learned at all how to cover Trump. I think full stop. The media writ large is still covering him the same way they did in 2016 and 2020. Mm-hmm. But also of Democrats who, and look, the issues that Democrats are in complaint of the Biden administration about are important. Student loan debt, you know, relief would change millions of American lives. You know, he's doing a lot on climate, but also gave Joe Manchin a lot. Those are legitimate complaints. But I think Tom Nichols' point is that arguing about that and about Biden's age and like nitpicking that right now, when on the other side is Trump and DeSantis and people like Ramaswamy, seems short-sighted. What do you make of that criticism?
My good friend Tom Nichols is 100% correct about this. You know, I joke all the time with my Democratic friends and say, you know, Republicans fall in line, Democrats need to fall in love. That's the joke, you know, amongst us in Washington about this. And I just sit back and I go, what are you guys doing? None of these policy positions matter if our democracy falls apart. And I don't think that the case has been made enough comparing and contrasting what that means. I don't think people really truly understand what we're facing here, what the existential threat to our democracy looks like. Democracy is a decision. Democracy does not defend itself. Institutions do not defend themselves. It takes the righteous anger of the American people to stand up and push back against the authoritarian forces that are now coalesced behind one major political party in this country. This next election, President Biden was 100% correct. It is about democracy. It's America or Trumpism, period, full stop. I just came back from a conference in Germany, and I can tell you that there were a lot of high-powered folks there, from elected officials to business leaders, who looked at us Americans who were there and said, you guys cannot fail. There is no one else to replace you in America as the beacons of democracy in the world. Europe and the rest of the world cannot survive if American democracy falls. It was a very sobering experience to hear our European allies plead to us, saying, what are you guys doing there? We need you. Who fills that power vacuum? It sure as hell isn't a pro-democracy country. It's Russia. It's China. It's our enemies who would fill that vacuum if America went under. So for President Biden to step up, which I think he's doing an excellent job of doing, to step up and explain that that's what's on the ballot, I think that the Democrats need to understand this and coalesce around that message and explain to the American people what it means if we lose our democracy. Lincoln Project has put out all week long, we're putting out pro-Biden, pro-democracy messaging to remind people this is what's at stake, this is what he's doing, and this is the choice. And that's what the messaging has to be moving forward.
Trump lawyer turned RICO defendant Rudy Giuliani has a new problem. His own recent former lawyer, Robert Costello, is suing Giuliani, saying he owes over $1 million in unpaid legal fees. Costello represented Giuliani in several cases and probes. He was even listed as unindicted co-conspirator one in the Jack Smith probe. That's Giuliani's big problem. He also was indicted in Georgia for RICO coup activities. Giuliani also has legal fees from cases by Dominion and Smartmatic voting companies over alleged defamation and election lies. He also was found liable for defaming Georgia election workers. This is what Giuliani says on Newsmax.
You have all these crazy legal bills. You don't. You shouldn't be in the position you're in, but you're in it. And
well,
folks,
we'll fight our way out. We always do, because we're on the right side, Greg.
That's his view. We also saw Giuliani going to a bail bonds agency for $150,000 bail for his recent Georgia arraignment. Donald Trump is hosting a fundraiser for Giuliani's mounting fees, while the former mayor's son says it won't be enough to get through this. You have Giuliani and his own former lawyer now in a conflict once memorably captured by Destiny's Child. At first, we started out real cool. Now you have the audacity to come and step to me, holding money from me until you get your check. And as it was once put, the question becomes, can you pay my bills? Do you pay my automobiles? If you did, then maybe we could chill. I don't think you do, so you and me are through. Well, that would seem to be the problem and the scenario for Mr. Giuliani and his lawyer, as the now RICO defendant Giuliani cannot pay his lawyer bills. And the bills are piling up.
Thanks for listening. WRCT Pittsburgh.
There's a bright side somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There's more joy somewhere. There's more joy somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy somewhere.
Tuned in to Pandemonium, a public affairs anthology from WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, pa@wrct.org. And now, Pandemonium.
You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. It's time for another edition of Pandemonium here. It's been a pretty new show. It's going for a few weeks now. Basically, DJs just do whatever they want to do. My name's Bill. I normally do a heavy metal show on Sunday nights called To Evil Have a Human Name. But I'm also very interested in bagpiping. I've been playing myself for a few years. And CMU obviously has a big history of piping. And today on our episode, I have Andrew Carlisle, who's the director of piping here. He's going to talk a little bit about himself and his position and CMU and play a few tunes for us. Welcome to the show, Andy. How long have you been here at CMU for?
Oh, hello, Bill. Yeah, I've been in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Mellon now for almost 12 years, just coming up to the end of the 12th year yet.
Yeah, and how did that all happen? Where did you start out and how did you end up here?
Oh, I'm originally from a small village in Northern Ireland called Ballygowan. And when I was 7 years old, I took up the instrument, the bagpipe. And yeah, just kind of took it from there. Ended up, you know, studying with some of the great players in both Ireland and Scotland. And then played with some various bands across the water. And then I was kind of finishing up grad school, and the job at Carnegie Mellon was posted, so I just applied for it, and here I am, I guess, 12 years later, yeah. So 2010 is when I started.
All right, and it's now 2022. You've been obviously enjoying your time here. You really enjoy the piping program here at CMU. Do you think it's up there with other places in the world?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it was actually the first in the world to offer a degree in piping and also the first to offer a master's. And yeah, it's a terrific institution here. We've got a really good program and a really good student body. The degree program is actually quite small, being that you have to be a very high standard to be admitted to it. But we also have a lot of non-music majors that play the pipes, that come for lessons and play in the band. And we also have the opportunity for first-year students to, you know, just learn the instrument from scratch. You know, so I do a lot of teaching beginners as well here.
And do you get a lot of those kind of students that seem to really, you know, stick with it? Or do you get a lot of people that just come in and the oddity of it maybe, since you don't have as much piping as back home?
I mean, usually, with any musical instrument, there's quite a big commitment as to, like, learning it and, you know, sticking with it and practicing. And sometimes you do get some people that get excited by it, but you know, when they start their academic studies in computer science or biology or whatever it may be, it gets a bit too much and they give it up. But the vast majority do stick with it. I would say there's at least maybe an 80% retention rate from people who start out to versus people that don't stick with it, kind of thing, on the beginner front. And I get students from all over the world. You know, I've had them from pretty much every continent, aside from Antarctica, I guess, yeah.
Maybe someday. And obviously there's the CMU band, which is pretty active. I'm doing a lot of different events. You'll be doing the graduation ceremony soon.
Yeah, for sure. We've got a pretty good pipe band here. The last time the American Pipe Band Championships were held in 2019, pre-pandemic, Carnegie Mellon won, so a pretty high standard of pipe band. It's very active in the greater Pittsburgh community. We just finished up a series of five concerts with River City Brass Band, a series called Celtic Connections. We'll be playing at Commencement. We just played a couple of weeks ago at CMU's Spring Carnival. We're at the St. Patrick's Day Parade downtown in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, we're pretty active in the community as well.
And then you're also involved with the Pittsburgh Piping Society here, which is something that you and a few other pipers started a few years ago. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's probably about 7 or 8 years ago now that we started it. So, basically, there were a lot of bagpipers in Pittsburgh, and a lot of them seemed to live in apartments or condos and things like that they couldn't practice, or they didn't have very many opportunities that they could go and either play with other pipers or play in front of other pipers. So we kind of just formed this as a kind of social club, and basically the format is, it's kind of like an open mic night for bagpipers. So if you want to come and have a tune in front of a supportive, friendly environment, it's a perfect place for people to come along. And we've had it in various different venues throughout the city over the years. But yeah, with the average kind of crowd we usually get is about 60 people, I think.
And it's based on some earlier piping societies, correct? Including one here in the Pittsburgh area?
That's right, yeah. Unknown to me, there was a Pittsburgh Bagpipe Society, PBS. I'm not sure if they copyrighted the initials or not back then, but yeah, in the late 1800s, there was a Pittsburgh Bagpiping Society. I don't know too much about it, but I've seen records that it definitely existed. It must have kind of, you know, stopped existing at some point in the early 1900s. But yeah, thankfully in the kind of 2000s, I guess, we resurrected it. Yeah. And yeah, it's pretty thriving. We just had an evening there last Friday evening in Squirrel Hill, and with a very good turnout, and with at least maybe a dozen pipers that played in that evening. Yeah.
If there's anyone listening right now that's not really knowledgeable at bagpiping or anything like that, where should they check? Just check the website for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Piping Society will have a Facebook page, and I believe the website's currently under construction, but yeah, we do have a website. But yeah, the Facebook page is pretty active as to like when the next gathering or meeting or performance is going to be.
All right, great. Well, let's get into some music. You mind playing a few tunes for us?
Yeah, sure.
Up first, you're going to play Marsh Strauss Bay and Reel. You want to tell us a little bit about those tunes real quick before
sure.
you go?
Sure. Well, a march just being real. So first of all, it's a march. So quite from the Scottish military tradition. And the march I'm going to play is The Braes of Castle Grant. The first two parts of it are traditional, and the third and fourth parts were added by a great piper called George Stuart McLennan. Strauss Bay is a type of Highland dance. The Highland Fling is the dance that goes to the Strauss Bay. And the Strauss Bay I'm going to play is called Inverary Castle. And the reel is a traditional reel, just a different type of Scottish dance, a Scottish reel. And the reel is entitled The Rejected Suitor.
All right, great. Well, let's get right into it.
Thank you.
All right, Andy, that was great. What do you got next? Hopefully it's something maybe, you know, a little faster, a little more party atmosphere.
Sure. Well, how about a hornpipe and jig?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, so I'll try a hornpipe and jig, which is, yeah, two of the more lively dances in the Scottish repertoire. The hornpipe's called Jim Tweedy Sea Legs, and it was composed by a New Zealander called John Alan McGee.
That sounds like a very New Zealand type name.
I guess. Well, it's got five parts in it, and apparently it's each of the parts are to represent one of the seas that he had to cross to get to Scotland. And then the jig is a composition by pipe major Donald MacLeod, and it's called Donald Cameron's Powder Horn.
All right, perfect. You've been listening to WRCT. We're coming to the end of this episode of Pandemonium. I've been here speaking and listening to Andrew Carlisle, director of piping here at CMU, and he's got one more piece of music to play, a pibroch, some classical bagpipe music. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this final piece you're going to be doing?
Sure. Well, a pibroch is kind of the classical music for the Great Highland Bagpipe, and it was composed in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. It can be traced back to the 1500s, and it kind of originated on the west coast of the Isle of Skye in a place called Borag by the MacCrimmon family. And so these are very old pieces of music, and it basically consists of a theme, like a melody, and then there's subsequent variations on that melody as you go through the piece. And as you go through the piece, the variations get more technically complex. but they're all based off the original theme. And the piece that I'm going to play is quite a rhythmic piece. It's called The Red Speckled Bull. Now, there's a couple of different stories behind the name. The first is, it's thought to have perhaps been a mistranslation in the Scottish Gaelic, and it was actually supposed to be the Red Speckled Army. So basically the English redcoats, you know, that they're the Scottish clansmen were witnessing at the time. And the other story about the tune is that, well, bagpipe bags are made of leather, and apparently one of the McCrimmons wrestled a bull and killed the bull and skinned the bull and made his pipe bag out of the skin.
Not sure which story is more brutal.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, this is a long piece, so sit back and relax. You've been listening to show Pandemonium. This tune's going to finish off the set, so enjoy and have a good rest of the evening. Thank you, Andy.
You've been listening to Pandemonium. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, pa@wrct.org. Thanks for listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
There's a bright sign somewhere. There's a bright sign somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright sign somewhere. There's more joy somewhere. There's more joy somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy somewhere. There's a bright sign somewhere. There's a bright sign somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright sign somewhere. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's more joy
somewhere.
Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy somewhere.
Somewhere.
that there's more love somewhere. But let's not rest until we find that there's more love somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's more joy
somewhere.
Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's a bright side somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's more joy
somewhere.
Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy
somewhere.
not rest until we find it. There's more peace somewhere. There's more love somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's more love somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's more joy
somewhere.
Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. Let's not rest until we find. bright side somewhere. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's more joy
somewhere.
Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's a bright side somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's more joy
somewhere.
Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy
somewhere.
Somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright side somewhere. 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 Let's not rest until we find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There's more joy
somewhere.
There's more joy
somewhere.
Let's not rest until we find it. There's more joy
somewhere.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. And you are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. My name is Steve, your host for the Deep Blues Hour. Yeah, 60 minutes of classic and traditional blues coming your way. And in this hour, we're going to hear from the likes of Champion Jack Dupree, playing some fine barrel house piano from down in New Orleans. Also, Charlie Patton, one of the founders of Delta Blues. I mean, way back, preceding everybody, creating the blues idiom. Plus, we'll hear from a group called the Cool Cats. They were recorded in prison. Well, we'll find out what they have to say. It's all coming up here on this hour of the Deep Blues Hour. Well, we start off with the King of the Blues, B.B. King, that is. Here he is with Ain't Nobody Home from 1971. B.B. King here on the Deep Blues Hour on WRCT Pittsburgh. WRCT is supported by Attic Records.